In Daniel, it says that he will blaspheme against the Most High. In Revelation, it says that he will speak blasphemies. So, you know, he will take the Lord's name and speak evil against God. He will, and right here, when I greet everybody, what do I say? I say saints of the Most High, right? Saints of El Elyon. That's what I call you guys. Saints of El Elyon, God, the Most High God. Well, what will the Antichrist do? He will blaspheme El Elyon. He will blaspheme the Most High.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of the Antichrist Part 3. First half of the Antichrist Part 3.
So in this book, and we're going to go over some of these things today. Now, I want to say that next week, and, you know, I thought I was going to get through this in 2 weeks, but, you know, that's not going to happen. So probably, hopefully we'll finish up next week. But next week, you want to get people to join in, because the whole lesson is going to be devoted to the mark of the beast, 666. And what is that? You know, there's a whole lot of speculation what that is. And so we want to let you know exactly what the mark of the beast is, and what, you know, 666 is all about. So we're gonna spend in-depth the Bible study next week, looking at that. So in this book, what you will receive when I'll probably send it out sometime this week, so you'll have a copy of it. There's an introduction. There's the meaning of the word Antichrist, and so some of these things we haven't looked at yet. So today I'm going to try to catch us up on some of the things that we haven't looked at. The identity of the Antichrist, we've talked about that. Biblical names for the Antichrist, most popular candidates for the Antichrist, the religion and nationality of the Antichrist. And then it's interesting because Daniel talks about the Antichrist. And there's a comparison between Daniel 7, where Daniel talks about the Antichrist, and Revelation 13 that talks about the Antichrist. Preparation for the coming of the Antichrist. We want to look at that a little bit today. The Antichrist in Israel, we kind of looked at that, so you know what that's all about. That, you know, Israel will play a significant role in the end times, and the Antichrist will make that covenant and then break the covenant. Similarities between Antiochus Epiphanes and the Antichrist. Remember, Jesus talked about the abomination desolation that happened in the book of Daniel. And that's where Antiochus Epiphanes went and offered a pig on the altar. And so we see that during the tribulation, the Antichrist will desecrate the temple also, just like Antiochus did. And there's some similarities between the two. So Antiochus was that wicked general, that wicked Syrian general, and Antichrist will be that wicked world ruler. Today, we're gonna look at the character of the Antichrist, the work of the Antichrist, and the end of the Antichrist. And then, like I said, next week, we're going to look at the mark of the beast, 666. You know, what is that? You know, I was doing some preliminary studying on the mark of the beast. And you might remember that the book of Revelation says that without the mark, you can't buy or sell. And so one of the I was watching this program where they were talking about the mark of the beast. And it was something that really open my eyes, because it said that you won't be able to go to a restaurant, you won't be able to buy food, you won't be able to rent a house, you won't be able to travel unless you have the mark of the beast. So, you know, when we think about that, you know, we kind of see the stage being set, you know, for the mark of the beast. And the fact is that, you know, things are being limited. And so when you look at the limitations and it says that you can't, you won't be able to buy or sell. You know, I know when I first started studying Bible prophecy, you know, I didn't necessarily know all that that meant. But as we see time progressing and, you know, we see that, you know, you can't do certain things, we realize that what John wrote in Revelation about not buying or selling is becoming more of a reality. That's what's in the book that I'm going to send you. All right. Look at the meaning of the word Antichrist. I haven't covered this. The meaning of the word Antichrist. And so you will get this in the book. The word Antichrist comes from two Greek words, anti, which means against, and Christos, which means anointed. Now we know that Jesus Christ was the anointed one. Now, when you think about Jesus, his last name, and I know when we met in person, I said this on many occasions in Bible study, that Jesus' last name was not Christ. His last name was not Christ, all right? Actually, Christ is the title that he had. So it was Jesus, the anointed one. All right, that's what Christ means, Messiah. That word Christ is Christos. It means anointed one, and that Jesus was anointed as the Messiah, and he was anointed to bring salvation to the world. So, if Jesus Christ is the Messiah, what is the Antichrist? Well, the Antichrist, again, that word anti means what? That which is against. So everything that Christ represents, the Antichrist is against. All right. So let's look at some things here. A comparison between Jesus Christ and the Antichrist. Jesus lived on earth to glorify the Father. What did Jesus do? So, you know what? And this might be an interesting comparison as I go through this, saints, to look at people too. Because, you know, as people, you know, we either can be trying to follow in the steps of Christ, or unbeknowingly, we may be mimicking the Antichrist. All right. Somebody said to move the paragraph markers. All right, I'll do that. Thank you for that. Let's see. Okay, there we go. Thank you. All right. Jesus Christ lived on earth to glorify the Father. So why are you here? Are you living to glorify the Father? The Antichrist lived on earth to glorify himself. In 2 Thessalonians 2:4, it says that he magnifies himself. All right. Jesus Christ humbled himself. I love that passage in Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself. The Antichrist is going to walk in pride. Jesus Christ was empowered by the Father. The Antichrist is empowered by Satan. Jesus Christ embodied the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The Antichrist is characterized by deceit and lies. Oh, saints, does that characterize your life today? Is your life characterized by deceit, deception? Jesus Christ praises the Father. The Antichrist blasphemes. So he blasphemes God. Jesus Christ encourages the godly. The Antichrist opposes the godly. Jesus Christ receives worship. You know, he wants people to worship him freely. My brother, if you got a chance to see the message from Sunday, he had a powerful message on broken vases, and it was powerful. And he talked about how Mary worshiped Christ by, you know, pouring that oil out, right? Jesus receives worship. The Antichrist will demand worship. He will demand that people worship him. He will give mandates that people worship him. Jesus Christ, I like this right here. Oh, somebody ought to shout on this one right here. Was God who made himself man. The Antichrist is a man who makes himself God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 4. I like that. Jesus Christ is God who made himself man. The Antichrist is man who makes himself God. Jesus Christ came to do the Father's will, John 6:38. The Antichrist came or comes to do his own will. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Antichrist is the son of perdition, or the son of wickedness, the son of evil, the son of destruction. That word perdition, destruction, right? Jesus Christ came in his Father's name, John 5:43. The Antichrist came in his own name, John 5:43. So there's a comparison. Again, Antichrist means against the anointed one. All right. So everything that's true of Jesus is opposed by the Antichrist. All right. Let's see. We looked at the identity of the Antichrist. We've already studied that. We looked at the biblical names for the Antichrist. We've already studied that. So again, you're gonna get all this, right? I'm like, you're gonna get this, right? Most popular names for the Antichrist, we looked at that. We looked at the religion and nationality of the Antichrist, Jewish, Muslim, or Gentile. We've looked at that. Let's look at real quick. Like I said, Daniel in the Old Testament talks about the Antichrist, and Revelation 13 talks about the Antichrist. Let's look at some comparisons, right, between Daniel and Revelation. In Daniel, he's called the little horn in Daniel 7. And in Revelation 13, he's the 10 horns that comes out of the beast, right? So we see that beast coming up out of the sea. So let's look at some comparisons here. In Daniel, it says that he will blaspheme against the Most High. In Revelation, it says that he will speak blasphemies. So, you know, he will take the Lord's name and speak evil against God. He will, and right here, when I greet everybody, what do I say? I say saints of the Most High, right? Saints of El Elyon. That's what I call you guys. Saints of El Elyon, God, the Most High God. Well, what will the Antichrist do? He will blaspheme El Elyon. He will blaspheme the Most High. Daniel said he's going to wear out the saints. He's going to wear them out. That means he's going to punish them. That means he's going to take them through tribulation. And in Revelation, it says that he will make war with the saints. So, you know, he's definitely going to be opposed to the saints. In Daniel, it says that he will be a brutal one that covers the earth. Okay, he's going to be brutal, and his reign is going to cover this whole earth. In Revelation, it says that he will be swift like a leopard, brutal like a lion, and strong like a bear. So those are characteristics of the Antichrist in Revelation. In Daniel said he shall think to change the times and the law. He shall think to change the times and the law. In Revelation says that's what he's going to do, that no one will be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. He had the power for a time, which is 1 year, a times, which is 2 years, and a half time, the dividing of a time. So he has power. Now we know that he will be on the scene for 7 years, but the last half of the tribulation is when he will exercise his great authority and power. And so Daniel said it will be for a time, 1 year, times 2 years, and the dividing of a time, a half year, which is 3.5 years, that he will be fully in power. And then Revelation said 42 months. How long is 42 months? 42 months is 3.5 years. So they have different terms that they use to say how long he will be at the apex of his power, but they both come out to 3.5 years. So I thought it was interesting comparison between Daniel 7 and Revelation 13. All right. So you're going to get this, right? Saints, I put a lot of work into this study, and I want you to know, as we have studied about the Antichrist, I want you to know about him. All right. The preparation for his coming. All right. So we see the groundwork being laid. In Revelation 13, verses 15 through 17, we read about the universal power and influence of the Antichrist. It says about the false prophet that he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. So I'm going to talk about this in detail next week. You want to be here next week, and you want to encourage others that might want to know about this mark of the beast, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save they have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. All right. So you're not going to be able to go to grocery store. You're not going to be able to go to restaurant. I guess maybe your best bet might be is to go to the farmer's market, right? maybe. Now, you know what? Let me back up, because I told you guys already that when the tribulation starts, that we're not going to be here. So, praise God. Praise God. So, you can school up the people who might not know Christ. But, you're not going to be able to go to a restaurant. You're not going to be able to travel. You're not going to be able to go to sporting events. You're not going to be able to go to concerts. You're not going to be able to do anything unless you have the mark. All right. So let's look at the financial. We're going to look at three things under preparation for the coming of the Antichrist. The financial preparation, and we kind of talked about this already. If you look at the financial preparation, you see here, let me highlight this right here. Okay, you see why I have it highlighted. It's a cashless world financial system. All right. Your money is no good. Okay, you're not gonna be able to use money. And we see that more and more taking place, throughout the earth. I shared with you when we were on vacation, we went to Six Flags, and I wanted to buy something at one of the stands down there, and I gave them money, and they told me they didn't take money, that you need a credit card. All right. So as we move ahead, the financial preparation is being set for the Antichrist, and it's going to be not only a cashless world financial system, but also notice this, it's going to be, look at that, it's going to be one world currency. And we already know that preparations are in place to put the whole world on the one world currency. Another thing And so I'll tell you one of my frustrations that, you know, I've never got accustomed to the metric system, right? I'm still on the old system, you know, where we talk about feet and miles and gallons and pints and quarts, right? The only thing I know is, you know, liters, right? 2 liters, a 2 liter soda, right? But when you think about why did we go from, you know, feet and pounds and inches and move to this new system? To get, you know, on board with the whole world. That is, you know, it's easier if everybody's speaking the same thing, everybody's working on the same thing. So, you know, the financial preparation has already been laid for the Antichrist to come and to take over. Now, let me share something else with you before I move on. Again, one of the programs that I was watching, you know, the guy right here, we're in Revelation 13, where right here it talks about, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This guy on his program was talking about in Phoenix, Arizona, that there's a 10-story high image that that they're bringing to the city, and the image, you know, is animated and can talk and can move and all those type things. So, you know, again, when we think about the stage being set, you know, the more advanced we get in technology, and you know, keep in mind now, saints, keep this in mind, that when John said all this, he had no idea of all the technology that would be in place. John had no idea, but he wrote that image of the beast would be constructed, and that, look at this, life would be given to this image, and that people would worship the image. And so, you know, we see, like I said, in Phoenix, Arizona, that, you know, there's a 10-story image that they're going to bring, animated image, and give life to it. So, you know, again, preparation for the coming of the Antichrist. The stage has been set. Financial preparation, technological preparation. You know, we looked at that a couple weeks ago. Facial recognition in China, that you can go into the airport and you don't need an ID. They have facial recognition, medical information on the chips. Now, you know what? You know something that's very interesting. And again, this program that I was watching, they were talking about prophecy. And one of the things that they said is that there's a shortage of chips for cars and trucks. And that if you look, you know, in certain places on lots, there's trucks that they can't sell them right now because they don't have a chip for them. Wow. Wow. You know, and if you look at cars, try to buy a car today. I'm so glad that I don't have to buy a car today. Try to buy one today. Now, if you try to sell one, you might be in good shape because you will get top dollar for your car if you try to sell it.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Antichrist, Part 3. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Antichrist, Part 3, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Antichrist, Part 3. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Antichrist, Part 3 from our series on prophecy. or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.